All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Women to Watch is an intimate look into the lives of prominent and influential women leaders from around the world and the challenges they faced on their journey. It's the real story behind her title. Join us every week to hear more stories about women from around the world and in your own communities at womentowatch.net. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco. Thanks so much for being with me. Joining me in just a moment will be Virginia Reese Coles. And Virginia is the Global Alliance Leader for Amazon Web Services. She has quite an eclectic story and career. She's going to be sharing with us her time at AT&T, her side gig as a stunt driver, and then also the work she's doing today with Amazon. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're interested in watching the show. We're at W2W Media. That's W2W Media. So now I'm very honored and thrilled to welcome to the show Virginia Reese Coles. Virginia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
It's great to have you. Tell me where you're joining us from.
I am joining you from Southern California in Santa Monica.
Oh, very nice. I know you do a lot of travel, so I was wondering if you were at home base or somewhere else.
Yes, I am home. Thank you.
Yeah. So listen, before we dive in and talk about your career, which is extensive in the realm of technology, I want to give our viewers a sense of the young Virginia and where you came from, kind of connect those dots. So I wonder if you can just talk about the community or neighborhood of Hopewell, Virginia, where you grew up.
Yes, I am very pleased to talk about that. So I grew up in a very small town outside of Richmond called Hopewell, Virginia, approximately 18,000 people. And I grew up with two sisters and a brother. And a working class family. My father worked at the local plants. My mom was a homemaker. And to this day, I'm very happy when I go back to my hometown because many of the people that I grew up with, the families, generational families, are still there. And my mom is still in the same house after 65 years.
Yeah, that's amazing. 65 years. Something about your mom that I think is very cool is that she went and got a nursing degree at age 56.
Yes.
What did you make of that? What did you think of that?
I was so pleased and so proud. My father had an accident, a work accident, and my mom was taking care of him. And it was the impetus behind her going back to getting her LPN. And she was the oldest student in class. But after that, she always, up until recently, volunteered at the local hospital as well.
And is she's retired now, I'm assuming?
Oh, yes. Retired, yeah. And living in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah. Tell me, Virginia, when you shared with me that your parents really wanted more for you and your siblings. than they had. And did you feel as though there was pressure on you to you and your brothers and sisters to be as successful as you are today? Did mom and dad talk to you about that, or was it just something that was understood?
It was just understood. We never, all four of us, we never really had the pressure that we had to go out and be successful in that term. What we were taught is you go out and you do the best that you can do, and you work hard for a living. And inevitably, the working hard that we learned from our parents allowed all four of us to be quite successful in the fields that we chose.
You were quite active as a young girl, involved in a lot of things. Tell me, you know, a little bit about your high school years and how busy you were. What were you doing at that time?
Well, in high school, I was busy on two fronts. One, I was a cheerleader, but other than that, I was in the Beta Club and student government. We have a very tight community in Hopewell. And so it was really just participating so that everybody had fun. So whether it was bonfires or actually, we were quite unique in that we had sororities and fraternities in high school. So that took up a lot of our time. They were mainly for philanthropy. Even back then, we would raise money for certain organizations. I also did a stint where I was very interested in writing. So I was the Richmond Times-Dispatch junior correspondent. So I would write articles about our community.
And at that time, I know that you had an aspiration to work at the White House, and I wasn't clear on when that came to be and where that came from.
Well, it was interesting. So I went to school at James Madison University, and during senior year, a lot of my peers were going to IBM or Xerox at the time, and all I wanted to do was work at the White House in the press office. Why? I think it just was the ability to write and to be involved in a little bit more activity. Growing up in a small town, I wanted to go to the big city. So I wrote a letter, I got an interview, drove my 1969 Toyota up to the White House, had an interview in the old executive office building, which is adjacent to the White House, and I was hired. Unfortunately, Reagan was shot in March of that year, and I got a letter back saying that your job will not be able to move forward. However, would you be willing to work for David Stockman in the Management and Budget Office? I'm like, absolutely. At that time, I was like, yes. So I had an opportunity to start my career at the White House.
And when you think back at that time, he was a representative from Michigan. That must have been exciting.
Oh, it was amazing because at that time, you actually did have access into the West Wing, and you had access to seeing the president and the vice president. And to me, it was so exciting. And I'm like, this is what I really want to do. I want to be involved in something big. However, I realized very early on that you don't make a lot of money in government. And I had student loans, and there were things that I needed to do. So although it was short-lived, it was very, very beneficial for me in laying the groundwork of not only working hard because you work long hours, but also just to be in the mix of seeing how government works.
Virginia, I know that you went to school, James Madison. You got your business degree and also an MBA from Smith College. Your first job out of school was ITT World Communications. Tell me how did that opportunity come about, and was that your introduction to the world of technology?
Well, every day I'd walk by the ITT building on my way to the White House. And back in those days, I used to have a red phone in the window. And when it was lit, it meant that there was communication between the U.S. and Russia. And I was fascinated by that. So every day I would walk by. And one day I just decided to go in and apply. And I happened to go in and I met a very nice gentleman named Tom Barnes, who actually took me up to one of the managers and asked if there was a job. And they asked me, do you know how to do telex? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm thinking, I didn't really know what telex was at the time. But came back the next week and I got hired in a telemarketing room. And my shift was 11 to 7, handling West Coast hours. And it was the most fabulous opportunity. I couldn't imagine a better opportunity just starting a career.
Were there a lot of women in the company?
Well, at that time in the telemarketing room, there were about six. I was there for 10 months and I got promoted, and the choice was either Chicago or LA. And I'd never been off the East Coast. So I said, oh, I'll go to LA. And at that time there were 4 women in the company. So it was a very interesting time.
It sounds to me as though you had a lot of confidence. There were a couple things that you just shared where you just took action. You wanted something and you just did it. Writing the letter, you know, to the White House, walking into this company and asking for a job. Where did that kind of confidence, self-esteem come from?
I think it boiled down to, I realized how hard my parents worked to make sure that we all had an education. And once I was out of school, I just felt I needed to pursue making money and doing well and making them proud. And so that's really the impetus behind that, is I just needed to continue to push.
And would you say that that is behind your drive throughout your career? You know, kind of wanting to make your parents proud.
I think it was to start. And I knew very well that they were very proud of me and all my siblings. But I think once you get started, and, you know, like I said, we only had 4 women in the sales organization at the time that I started. So it was just, I was very lucky I had success early on, and I was driven to achieve certain things like President's Club. And every year we go to a different country. Those are things that I would strive for every year. I want to be the best manager. I want to be the best employee. I want to make the most money. And it really, working hard fulfilled a lot of things I wanted to do. Travel. I was on the West Coast. And in order to go back to the East Coast where my family was, a lot of times I was afforded those opportunities because I won awards or I was able to train other people. So it really was a self-fulfilling prophecy on working hard.
I know that you had an opportunity to do significant international travel throughout Asia, Hong Kong, Thailand, Japan, China. What did you learn from that travel? What surprised you? What did it teach you about life here in America?
Well, going to California first from Virginia was a big eye-opener. I mean, little things like we never saw avocados when I was growing up. Of course, you go to California and you see that. So you see a lot of things traveling just within the U.S. But when I had an opportunity to do a 4-month training opportunity with AT&T, it afforded me the opportunity to see cultures I had never seen. I'd read about and I was always interested in, but I got to experience it. And it was, it continues to be eye-opening. I just recently got back from Riyadh last week, and I am continually amazed at not only the progress in certain countries, but also the cultures. And I find these cultures to be very fascinating to me.
Would you say it lived up to your you were dreaming, I would say, growing up of being, you know, seeing places outside of Virginia?
Yes.
Did it live up to your dreams and your aspirations?
It did. And every time I travel, I find something unique or different, even if I go back to the same places. So for me, travel has afforded me the opportunity to really grow my personal self and to learn things other than just my current environment. And I have 2 sons, and I'm constantly encouraging them to travel. And, you know, it might just be to Yellowstone or to San Francisco, places that they haven't been. It doesn't have to be international locations, but travel is a very important part of our family.
And you mentioned it's contributed to your personal development. What in particular would you say you've recognized in yourself?
Well, first of all, patience. Sometimes, you know, you go through life and you think you know everything, or you think that it's your way. And this really taught me, 1, to be patient. 2, it taught me to appreciate some of the challenges that other people are going through and some of the glories that they go through. So it really gave me a perception of rounding out a little bit around the edges that I didn't know. And I learn every time I travel.
Stay with us as we go into our first break, where you'll hear from our watch team of corporate partners, and we'll be back with Virginia Reese Coles.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
As a female-led organization, you have to bring it every single day. We're a mashup of sort of right and left brain. So we're not just doing management consulting. We're not just doing creative services. We're not just producing an event, but we're bringing a comprehensive solution to our clients. And because of the way we approach it, we end up being bought into what it is that we're doing in a way that we truly have as much skin in the game as our clients do, whether it's bringing affordable internet to communities across the Caribbean, or it's helping Comcast with their Internet Essentials program, which is something we've been very proud to work on, or it's helping the NFL celebrate their centennial season by getting 1 million people to give at least 100 minutes to causes they care about, or helping the city of Philadelphia win the World Cup. So what's next for us? Well, we just hit just over 100 employees. I think we are at that tipping point, and I don't think there's anybody that does it better than we do. I'm Maggie Wilkinson, CEO of Athena Global Advisors, a company that is proudly based in Philadelphia.
Ladies, I'm Tiffany Curtin, a financial professional with more than 25 years of experience serving successful women, families, and businesses. Here's the reality. You don't have to be the one managing your family's finances to take ownership of your future. But if you want true confidence about how everything is going to play out, you do have to take part in the process. That doesn't mean digging the weeds of your finances when you don't have the time or desire. It means elevating your awareness of your own circumstances. It means having the bigger conversations so you're empowered when you need to be. Let's bring confidence to your family's future without overwhelming your time. Call Marcel at 903-520-2709. That's 903-520-2709. Or visit Johnson Financial Group on our website, www.jfg.cc. Not .com, www.jfg.cc.
Hi, I'm Dawn Zier, CEO, Board Director, and Executive Mentor to Fortune 500 executives through my work at the EXCO Group, a firm of experienced CEOs, board directors, and global business leaders who offer real-world experience to help organizations and senior executives grow. At some point early on in your life, you've likely been asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some of us know right away, but most of us don't know exactly what we want to do and change our mind multiple times throughout our lives, and that's perfectly okay. Take me, for example. When I look at my career, it's been a non-linear journey and chock full of reinventions. First, I was an engineer, then I switched to marketing. I worked at a phone company, a bank, ran international for a media company, became a CEO of a health and wellness company, and now serve on multiple boards across various industries. Which brings me to one of the biggest lessons I've learned. For many successful people, their career is not a straight line. Let each chapter, each role inform the next, and don't be afraid to pivot. Also, remember that one often needs to make lateral moves rather than take a promotion to prepare for upward mobility. No experience is wasted, and every position you find yourself in is an opportunity to learn, to figure out what you want to do, and perhaps even more importantly, what you don't want to do, and also to define where your true passion lies. Please follow me on LinkedIn at Dawn Zier. And if you're a senior executive looking to grow in your career, visit expoleadership.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for being with me. Joining me this week is Virginia Reese Coles. And Virginia, I kind of hinted at something that you do on the side that I found so interesting. And I, of course, want to know how you got into it. You were a stunt driver for 25 years and a member of SAG. How did that come to you?
Well, crazy story. I lived in an apartment, and one of the gentlemen that lived on my floor, at that time I was traveling pretty excessively, so I did not know a lot of people in my building. And my neighbor came to me one day and said, "Hey, I have a driving team. I need a driver. You're around this weekend." I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, do you mind driving? You don't have to do anything. I just need another person." I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Again, I found this fascinating. So I went to the set, and being in California, entertainment is so big. And I was always on the fringe of being a fan. I loved movies. So the opportunity to be on set was amazing. And at that time, he had 50 drivers. So I was in the back and didn't really drive at all that day. And then the next day he said, "Oh, can you come back? I need you again." I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Well, after 3 days, he's like, "Well, now you have to join SAG." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that's fabulous." So fast forward 50 films. I've done, probably 30 commercials. So I have worked with him over the last 25 years driving. And he has a precision driving team, which is a behind. So the picture car is the car that crashes. And so these are drivers behind that that do near misses and things like that. That's a part of the team that I'm on. And so I've been able to work with him for over 25 years, and I love it.
What, so without any experience or racing under your belt?
Exactly. And he's taught me the business. So I was very fortunate because many times he'll put me as a first car so he can sit in my car and we can go over certain things. He's brought me up to the camera to teach me camera work. So I'm very pleased. Bill Young has been a great mentor to me in this industry.
Wow. And how about, is there a particular celebrity you may have met throughout these years doing that?
Well, my favorite, I've done pretty much all the Mission Impossibles, but I did have an opportunity. First of all, you normally work at night in LA because you can't get the freeways. So it's okay. Night work. And so I had the opportunity to meet Tom Cruise many, many times, true professional. And it was a pleasure working on those films.
I have a feeling you have a lot more stories in there about that we can't get into in this interview, but perhaps at a later time. I want to talk to you about Aeritas AI. Am I pronouncing that right? So you co-founded Aeritas AI, and tell me, when did you start that and why?
So I worked for AT&T for 25 years and basically retired during a reorganization. And from that, I consulted to Sony on global infrastructure. But as a consultant, my husband's Canadian, and he had a request for someone to help an entrepreneur in the data center business. And he asked me, "Can you call him and just help him with whatever he needs?" So I had the opportunity to call Dan Pothier, who is the founder of Aeritas. He and I spoke, and I just helped him with some minor things. But while we were talking, I'm like, "Tell me about your business." He is one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And basically, Aeritas is a sensor tech company. It's an IoT platform that ingests data from sensors into machine learning AI in order to provide predictive analysis for business to be able to make decisions. And as I was talking to him, I was like, "This is unbelievable business." So we agreed that I would help him market that. So I've worked with Dan for about 6 years now. It's a Canadian-based company. And during that, we entered a Panasonic Deep Tech Innovation Challenge for odor detection, where we built the foundation models through AI, and we won out of 82 companies globally. So Dan is working with Panasonic now on an odor detection in an AI platform. Right now, we have 52 odors that have been identified. So I have been working with him on that, and anything I could do to help him along his journey, I will do whatever I can to help.
Wow. You know, Virginia, in trying to prepare for this interview, I was reading a lot of language that is unfamiliar to me when it comes to technology. And I wonder if you can if share for our viewers what your expertise is within the field of AI, IoT, perhaps in layman's terms.
Yes. So I basically am a business manager. My expertise is how do you take a product and bring it to market? My career really has been in sales and marketing. How do you take high-performing organizations or organizations that make them into high-performing organizations? So while I say I'm in the technology field, I don't view myself as a technologist where I'm writing code. But what I am very good at is helping an idea go from fruition to market to success, be it a product or be it a service. And so, you know, my background is really in at AT&T in the data center business, I ran sales organizations. So how do we take the data centers and market to corporations so that they have the confidence of putting their data in this facility? So from a technology perspective, while I'm well-rounded in technology, I really am the business driver behind a lot of the work that I do.
And would you say now that we're using AI, it's really infiltrating all areas of a business? I would imagine at some point you can't have a business or a company and not be utilizing it on some level. What insights can you share with us from the conference you were asked to speak? You referenced it at the beginning of the show, the Global Labor Market Conference. What could you share that's new?
Well, one of the things that we shared is a lot of people think that AI will take your job. And, you know, there are pros and cons to both. I actually think AI will augment workers and that we will find ways to do things better and differently, but not necessarily replace our jobs in total. What I am particularly interested in is how do we bring women into the fold? And how do we make sure that we are training women to be not only in the STEM arena, but also in the thinking arena? Because we will have AI that will be a tool for us, but we still need the human interaction in order to do business. And that's something I'm very passionate about. And one of the insights that this conference brings up is, you know, will AI replace workers? If so, how do we on a global market figure out how to do that? The statistic is basically 85 million jobs will be open by 2030. That's a huge amount of opportunity and jobs that we need to fill within the next upcoming, you know, 10 years, for example. So I feel that AI will augment the work that we do and that we may have to reskill our employees in order to be successful in the new work environment. But I do not take it as a threat. And I encourage all women to get involved. And what I really encourage about is you don't have to be a technologist to use AI. And you don't have to be a coder in order to be successful in AI. But if you're not knowledgeable about AI, you will be passed up.
Tell me why you believe it's so important for women to be in this field.
A couple reasons. One, I think a lot of times women are scared to enter this arena of AI, especially if you are not in the technology field. Whether you're a salesperson or any type of job today, your path forward will be embraced by AI, be it marketing newsletters, how you write things, the way you communicate. So business is changing with AI, I think for the better, but we have to embrace it. And I think that companies are realizing this and they're putting a lot of training, a lot of dollars into making sure that everybody embraces us. And one thing I would like to see is downscale this into the schools, you know, start earlier, because, you know, even today in some of these high schools, you don't have computer science classes. You know, we need to start downscaling this into, you know, our elementary schools, our junior schools, our junior high schools.
I agree, and present it to them at a young age that is, they will understand it, I think, at a level that perhaps if they go through school, they haven't been introduced to it. They assume it's not a study for them. And I agree with you so much about young girls and women being involved, because I think there's a certain gift that women have that is going to be important when AI does take over some jobs. We have to recognize where we need that human element back in, consistently involved.
And one of the things that I also think is, a lot of times we look at this as a professional job. AI is, oh, you have to have a college degree. AI incorporates every aspect, white collar and blue collar. And I'm actually encouraged with a lot of blue collar jobs, because as you know, plumbers use AI. They have tools, they have kits, they have programs that allow you to see things. You know, you take your car in, it's analyzed via AI many times on what's wrong with your car. AI is across all avenues and across all companies. So we need to embrace it.
Yeah. Tell me about your role with Amazon. So as a global alliance leader with Amazon Web Services, what does that entail?
I am very pleased to be at Amazon. So my career took me 25 years at AT&T. I consulted for 12 years with Sony, building out their cloud gaming platform on four continents. And my part of the business was really already done. We had pretty much, my engagement was over. So I was really thinking, do I retire or not? And then this opportunity at Amazon came up, and I was very interested in pursuing it. So I lead a digital transformation program in support of Deloitte for Amazon. And this is for migrations and modernization. So how do you take an app today, bring it to the cloud, and modernize it for output? And that's what I lead today. And, you know, when I look at my career, I've always wanted to work at Amazon, and I have very much respect for the company. And when I look at Deloitte, it's the best of the best. So I have the opportunity to work with two amazing companies leading this program.
Do you envision retirement at some point, or are you totally engrossed in your work today? You're not even thinking about that.
Well, I always think about that. But I always think I'm not one that can just stay home. And, you know, my boys are grown now. They're out of college. My husband's working. So I find that it's just my nature. I don't think I'll retire in the next couple of years, but very much look forward to that.
Yeah. Tell me about your boys. You're a mother. And I know that I had asked you some time ago, you know, what are you most proud of personally? And immediately you said being a mother, having your children. What do you hope for them as they continue on their adult journey?
Well, two things. One is I hope that they're very happy and they have a very happy and healthy life. Second is I hope that they continue to expand their horizon, like I said, with travel or whatever their interests happen to be. My boys are very different. One is in finance. My other son is just, well, he's actually now getting into real estate. So, you know, it's amazing watching them grow and watching them develop and watching them be so close together that they rely on each other. So I am, I'm very proud of them and very proud of where they are today.
I would imagine them watching you in your success and your career and your travel and your invitations to speak teaches them a very good lesson. Would you say that is true? You know, we're always trying to teach our boys, the next generation, to treat women with equal amounts of respect and understand that they're capable. And would you say having boys and a mother that has been working and traveling and successful has given them an insight into that.
I hope it has. I think it has. I have been a working mother since I've had children. I was fortunate enough to take a year off with each of my sons. But, you know, they've seen me. I was always the room mother at their schools. You know, I was always on the board of their schools. I was always participating in their sports teams. So I've had an opportunity to, I've been very fortunate throughout my career that I've had the best of both. To digress just a little bit, I had the opportunity to work for one manager for 19 years, Joe Marinaro, who was by far not only a personal friend, but the best manager. And I think that afforded me a lot of opportunity and trust in order to help raise my family while I was doing my job. And in turn, I had people that worked for me for 19 years. So we had a very small group within AT&T. So that helped me along the way. And I think my boys have seen, you know, a lot of times they go to bed and then I would work for a couple hours. But they have seen me work very hard and their father work quite hard in order to provide for them and give them the best education they have. I think it does show a lot of respect that they're seeing, not only for me, but a lot of the moms that are my friends are all working moms. So, you know, I think our boys have grown up around that. And that's something that is a foundation for them.
Mm, yeah. I'd love to know, Virginia, what your mantra is for stressful moments. You have a very lovely, calm demeanor. And we all know that there's days where everything goes awry. So how do you get through those moments?
That's a great question. You know, I play paddle tennis and I also play pickleball. And people say I hit it harder than almost anyone. And I think I end up taking my stress out on that.
Oh.
But it's just getting out and it's just trying to, it's trying to be calm, of which I still struggle with that. You know, how do you juggle everything? It's a challenge even to this day. And while, you know, I feel like I've done very well throughout the years, it hasn't always been easy. So just taking a step back, a lot of times for me, it's just getting a book and reading. Mm. And that kind of calms me down a little bit.
Yeah. My last question is just, I know that there's women watching that perhaps have doubts as they look at their careers or even kind of a pivot or a second chapter. They've done the work, perhaps they've raised children and they're trying to decide what's my next step. You know, and often women are faced with that. Do I retire and kind of just go play pickleball, or do I have more to contribute? You know, what would you say to them to help them come to figure that out, come to make that decision?
Well, I would encourage them if they wanted to get back in the workforce that there are jobs available. One thing that we struggle with in many small businesses is the nuance of the young employee versus maybe the wiseness of an older employee. And, you know, we're seeing that across as an issue across many, not just in small and medium businesses, but also across corporations, in that, you know, we have great technical workers, but are they critical thinkers? And there are a lot of moms that are out there that are really smart critical thinkers. And I would challenge to say, and probably best in logistics, trying to get kids around and,
yes,
you know, and managing a family. But yes. I encourage my friends. A lot of them come to me, you're so lucky you have a job. You're so lucky. You know, I haven't worked since my kids were born. And I'm like, then get back out there. Throw yourself out there and see. It might not be the lawyer job that you had when you left 30 years ago to raise your kids, but it might be helping a legal aid society, or it might be helping a philanthropy doing philanthropy or contributing. I am big on encouraging that. And I also want to throw out to anyone listening, if I can help in any way, I'm on LinkedIn, please reach out. You know, throughout my career, I've tried to help as many women as I could, because sometimes throughout my career, it wasn't easy. And women were probably the biggest stumbling block through my career. So if I can help anyone, I'd be more than glad to connect you to anybody that I know. And just don't say no. And that's one thing I've learned. Like this conference that came up, it's like, oh, am I going to go? And it's like, and my husband's like, well, why not? And I'm like, just say yes. You never know what you're going to experience.
Right. That's great advice. And it's very generous of you to offer to help the women in our audience. I thank you so much, Virginia, for spending time with me and sharing a bit of your story.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you very much.
Stay with us as we go into our last break, where you'll hear from our watch team, and I'll be back to close out the show.
Over on our Women to Watch YouTube channel, we have a partner profile series featuring some of the amazing executive women working at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Our latest installment features Dr. Susan Firth. Here's an excerpt from our latest conversation. The goal, I would say, of CHOP is for every child to have a chance at a healthy future. And how does the Research Institute specifically support and help in that goal?
One of our strategic imperatives as an enterprise is to really promote research-driven precision medicine, you know, so diagnostics and therapeutics that are really tailored to an individual's circumstance. And I always add to that research-driven precision medicine that this has to be research-driven precision medicine for everyone. So we've invested in programs around health equity, research methods, and making sure that as we are pursuing our research and discovery, that we're thinking about how our questions apply to different populations, whether it's where they live, if they're rural or urban, or what their social determinants of health are. So we're trying to incorporate thinking broadly about improving child health to all populations. So we want to help children who are around the world and also in our backyard.
To learn more about Dr. Susan Firth, head over to our Women to Watch YouTube channel for the full interview.
We are CHOP, and we can't wait to show you around. We're the nation's first children's hospital. Now, a care network with more than 50 locations that continues to expand. 3 state-of-the-art research buildings with 1.5 million square feet of space. We have grown from 12 beds 165 years ago to nearly 600 beds and one of the best children's hospitals in the world. We have a level 1 trauma center, 11 floors of patient units, more than 20 operating rooms, first-of-its-kind delivery unit for babies with birth defects, a separate cardiac operative and catheterization suite, and places to learn, like our internationally recognized simulation center. We have trained generations of leaders in the field of pediatrics. We are world leaders in medicine, surgery, and science. One of the top recipients in NIH funding for pediatric research. In this building, pioneers in CAR T therapy, mitochondrial disease, brain tumors, hyperinsulinism, and other rare diseases. Here, groundbreaking work in fetal surgery, genetics and genomics, and neurology. In our newest building, leaders in social determinants of health, clinical informatics and epidemiology, autism, trauma and injury prevention. Our patients come from every state and 115 countries. Meeting these challenges requires the best and the brightest. We are passionate about pediatrics. We are motivated to make a difference in the world and in our community. We are a team. We are CHOP.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Thanks so much for tuning in. Next week, I'll be joined by Willow Hill. And Willow is the co-founder of Scout Lab, which is a global advertising agency. Thank you, as always, to our sponsors and our watch team for helping us to bring you the show. I hope you all have a great week.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.